Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist with the Chicago Tribune.
And as we're moving towards the election, discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
Like I said, we're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it!
Where... Shut up! Shut up right now!
For God's sake!
I swear to God, I will go over
you.
Punch you! You! So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now. Hi there, it's Amy Guth and Rex Hupke here, back for another edition of Guth and Hupke on Politics. And as we promise every single week, it is the topic that keeps on giving. So, you know, the thing we're sitting here wrestling with right now is this idea of truth, because it seems that the president-elect is only going to communicate with us on Twitter, and only some of us, because it was also revealed this week that just how many people were suddenly realizing he had blocked them on Twitter,
right,
which
yes.
I think is interesting. And so he's apparently only going to be dealing with us via Twitter and addressing us that way. But it's we're in this kind of weird loop, which I think is a really dangerous one. And that is when we, members of the media, point out a falsehood that he has declared on Twitter. He says that we're all corrupt and we're all lying and some people believe us. We then point to another falsehood. And then we're accused of being liars and making things up and having the... So you see where I'm going with this. This dangerous conversation arc has erupted that's really ultimately going to only silence the Fourth Estate, or at least try to damage the work that we do. And that's terrifying. Go.
Yes.
Also,
what you said.
Agreed.
End of podcast. No, I think it's bad. It's really bad. And the question now is, where does it go? Where does it lead us to? And a big part of that, I think, is how many people are actually listening exclusively to him. In other words, when Donald Trump says something that is false.
Mm-hmm.
On Twitter or at a big rally, which again, like you said, it's the only way we're going to hear from him, it seems like now, is either Twitter or big scary rallies. He says something, then the media says, well, no, either A, that's false, or B, it's more nuanced than that, and what you're saying is largely false,
right,
or hugely over-exaggerated. And then he says, you can't listen to the media, they're a bunch of liars. And then people say, you're right, I'm not listening to the media, I'm getting my news elsewhere, which would be like Breitbart.
Or they get it from, like, conspiracyuncovered.blogspot.com.
Right. Yes, exactly.
And they're like, my brother-in-law knew a guy that knew a guy that knew a guy that knows this guy, so it's legit. Really?
Patriotlibkiller.com.
I met that guy, yeah.
So, but my question and my suspicion is that the total percentage of Americans who will buy all of that hook, line, and sinker is actually relatively small. Obviously, it was large enough to get him elected, but I don't know that it's large enough to carry, for that to last, because what's going to start happening, and we saw this a little bit in Indiana with the Carrier plant, where he supposedly swooped in and saved a bunch of jobs coming, he said, I think, 1,100 jobs from going to Mexico. Now, actually, what happened is it was more in the neighborhood of 700 jobs. A lot are still going to Mexico. I think it was somewhere around 800 are actually going to Mexico as they had been planned. And Carrier, which he at one point owned stock in, wound up getting something like $7 million in state tax, you know, benefits, blah, blah, blah. So much more complicated than just I came in and saved, you know, thousands of jobs and everybody loves me. What I've seen since then, the Indianapolis Star and some other places have written about this. There's Carrier employees, some of whom are still losing their jobs, saying, boy, was this ever a big dog and pony show. Boy, was this a sham, et cetera. So that's how Indiana went big for Trump. And so already wherever he goes, wherever he does something that is not exactly as he describes it, there are going to be disgruntled people who are going to say, hold on. And I think every time that he does that, he's going to lose some people who buy into his credibility and who maybe then swing back to saying, OK, wait a minute, I got to actually see what the facts are here. So anyway, I think there's a ceiling on the number of people in this country who will buy Trump himself as a news source.
That is a sentence I never thought I was going to hear in my lifetime. Trump has a news source.
We've had a lot of sentences over the past few weeks here.
I feel like that's you're reading off of Cards Against Humanity chips at this point. There's a limited people who will buy Selects card. Trump has a news source. Well, there is a Tumblr blog called Trump Grets.
Yes,
have you seen this?
I've seen that, yes.
Lovely. It is essentially exactly what it sounds like. It is people who supported Trump regretting doing so and calling him to the mat for, hey, wait a second, you said you were going to do X, Y, and Z, and now you're saying the opposite. And they're tweeting about it. It's pretty fascinating.
That'll get progressively worse too, because right now what I think is on there predominantly are the crazy people who wanted Hillary thrown in prison and thought he was going to do that, for example. So now they're mad because he's not throwing Hillary in prison, or they're mad because he had the audacity to talk to Mitt Romney and that makes Trump a huge cuck or whatever they want to call it.
Yeah.
So I think that's, you're getting your hardliners with the regret, but the regret is going to turn from kind of like, haha, look at you guys, you got jobbed.
You got hosed, too.
Sad when the people who are unemployed now and think that God Trump is going to bring them back to the days of great prosperity and $25 an hour manufacturing jobs a year from now are still unemployed. And
it's
then there's
going to
be some regret.
Yeah.
And that's, and I don't say that with any joy. But people have been sold.
Yeah. I say that with no joy also. Yeah. What is sadder than someone who so fully pins their hopes on someone to fix a dire situation and then is not helped at all, and perhaps even in worse shape for having pinned their hopes to that person.
Yeah.
That makes people feel foolish. That makes people feel like the rug has been pulled out from under them, kicked while they're down, all of those things. And that breeds great anger.
Yeah.
That's going to get a lot of people very pissed off, because then they're going to feel foolish, and nothing gets people defensive quicker than making them look dumb, right?
Yeah.
Like when you feel foolish and you feel like you've made a dumb call or something, or you've chosen unwisely, that's when people get super, super defensive.
Right. And that's, it's coming. I mean, you look at people are looking much more closely now at Obamacare, where Obamacare is being used heavily, and all of these real red states where people think, okay, Obamacare is horrible, but they also have Obamacare. Maybe they don't even realize it.
They don't even know.
Yeah, and it's all of a sudden going to be gone, and now you're out to dry.
Do you remember when it was first on the block? There was, I don't remember who it was. I want to say it was like a Daily Show or Samantha Bee or somebody went around asking people in New York City, do you support the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, and why? And nobody stopped and said, aren't they the same thing? People are like, oh, I do not support Obamacare. I am totally in favor of the Affordable Care Act, and here's why. Well, here's the thing about what you just said. So there's that, right? There's a lot of people that are like, I don't recall seeing any paper that said Obamacare.
Right.
I have something called the Affordable Care Act. Oh boy, I'm scared of this. I'm scared of the, I'm afraid of the velocity at which information moves, and the coupled with the laziness of people at a moment when we have greater access to information than ever, the laziness with which we do research, meaning we don't.
Right. Yes, at all.
At all.
I think that that's a really good point. And I think that, honestly, one of my biggest criticisms of the Obama administration and Obama himself was the inability to message healthcare properly.
Yeah, that's probably fair. Yeah.
And I mean, let's put it this way. When you get outflanked by Sarah Palin yelling about death panels, you're doing something fundamentally wrong, especially when you're viewed as one of the greatest communicators to be president. And I always thought that was hugely disappointing, that
that's
Obama and the Democrats were not able to grab hold of that thing and say, look, here's this is it. This is what it does. Here's why it's good. You're not all going to die. And this is why it was bad before. I mean, because it's not a perfect, I mean, it's never been perfect. And it was made worse by Republican intransigence on trying to actually get it implemented properly. So it in many ways never stood a chance. But a big part of the problem was on the front end, because they did just kind of throw it out there, and they didn't put up enough of a fight in trying to say this is a good thing.
Good job using the word intransigence. That's the first time that's been on this show. Nice. Da, 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 da. We should have a special bell for that.
I did a big word.
Speaking of things that keep us awake at night, the Oklahoma Attorney General Scott Pruitt has been selected to run the Environmental Protection Agency. And he is the fella who said that any kind of chatter about global warming and Obama's global warming policy in particular was, quote, a war on coal. he said that it is, he's all about the it's a hoax line. And he has vowed to cancel the Paris Accord. That'll be good.
Bye, Florida.
and California and all the things.
It is a good time to live in the middle of the country, let me tell you.
Right. Because when it folds, we'll still probably be just shoved into Canada, which is, you know, worse fates at this point.
It's where we're heading anyway.
Oh, my God. That's very concerning. So my brother is a geologist, and so he and I talk about this topic very often. And he started talking about this bullshit way before anybody else did, because he was like, hey, we're messing this up and the weather is getting more extreme on both ends. And he gets unbelievably pissed off when people, and this happens all the time, like if it's very, very cold, someone will go, oh, global warming, huh? Yeah. It's 30 degrees in March. Nah. Like, he gets so pissed off at that because he's like, it's not about, he goes, that's why we need to say climate change. That's right. Why it's so important to say that, because it's really not, it's a bizarre ethnocentrism, right, to say the weather where you are standing is representative of the entire globe.
Yes,
that's like the biggest narcissistic claim. So there's that. But also, you know, there is balance to everything that happens on this earth. And so if it is 750 degrees today in Indonesia, it's probably going to be 750 degrees below here in Chicago.
Right. Yeah.
So but he has long talked about that. And in particular, his focus is on soil and the mineral composition and petrology of mm-hmm. soil. He would be the brains of the operation of the Guth children. So that's for sure.
Well, now I know who to come to with my dire soil questions.
He's your man. He's totally your man. But he was kind of like looking at, we've had a lot of conversations about both how you can use mineral composition of soil to look at what's happening geologically, but also what's happening environmentally. Mm-hmm. And he has many times described to me how the soil just is so vastly different and it doesn't start like 10 years ago. It's decades ago where we really kind of started to get into big agriculture and manufacturing and mass production is when suddenly very rich soil full of minerals started to look kind of gray and shitty. Mm-hmm. And so it's fucked up to me that it's taken this long for science to have to go, guys, science, seriously, science.
It's a thing.
It's a thing. Fucking pay attention. It's real. Like, that's disappointing. And then to be sitting here days away from 2017 and we saw people going like, no, it's a conspiracy. It's a war on coal.
Yeah. Great. And that's going to go, if there's one thing that's going to go bad with this new administration, and I think it would have probably been similar under any Republican who would have won, it's going to be that front, the climate change issue and or the disregard of that issue and the deregulation of all manner of energy industries and stuff. And I think it's just bad, and it's so goddamn cocky, you know. Really is. I mean, there is an absolute it's like all of these people need to go to a coastal area that has really big waves and stand in the ocean and get hit by a wave and recognize that the earth has some pretty mighty power and that a lot of stuff happens. And, you know, I feel like once you get knocked down by that and you're like, maybe you start to appreciate the planet a little more as just some, you know, thing we stand on.
Yeah.
You know, or not just something we stand
on. Right. Like, get your ass out in a boat on a choppy, windy day just on Lake Michigan. And you could be like, I could lose my life. That could be a thing.
Right.
Right here on Lake Michigan on a windy day.
Yeah.
Done.
This planet will kill you.
It will kill you. The ground sometimes shakes because we're breaking up continental layers. Mm-hmm. The water will go away because we're polluting it and making it too hot to exist. The waves will can kill you. There's a lot of things that nature can do. Yeah. And its creatures can get super pissed off at us bite off our heads, sometimes in a very justified manner.
Yes. I rarely find myself not rooting for the animal.
I wonder what creature should take over after us, because we clearly cannot handle it.
Yes, we're totally irresponsible.
I'm going to go... I feel like sharks would be okay.
Yeah. Dolphins.
They're smart enough. Well, elephants. I always root for elephants.
One of my favorite parts of, I don't know if you've ever read The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. It's a
42, motherfucker. Of course,
okay,
I have.
There we go. Okay, yeah, it's the dolphins when they're and they're so long and thanks for all the fish as they're parting as they fly
sort of
off.
Like, I'm out. Well, and it is that kind of moment, right? Because I think everybody's still in this kind of weird. I think the oh shit, I'm moving to Canada stuff has died down a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think people are still kind of afraid. I'm heartened to see that a lot of people are still doing a lot of social justice sort of activities and still being very engaged and trying to anyway. I think we're starting to slide a little bit back into the I'm an activist because I speak out on Facebook. I think we're starting to slide back into that a little bit. I've seen a lot of guys listen, comma, long rant post. I've seen a lot of that in the last week.
Yeah, hold up.
Yeah.
let me break this down for you.
Or a lot of, first of all, I'm not going to blank, whatever that thing is. Like, well,
super.
Which leads me to a rant. I've decided the phrase, I can't even, is a problem, and it's elitist. I think it's funny. I mean, I think it's super funny when we, because especially like the origin of it is that like, the pumpkin spice latte Ugg boot wearing lady who's all like, I literally cannot even.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's funny. But as I've seen it more and more as it is applied to heartbreaking things, very upsetting things, things that are, you know, going to dictate the course of our lives in the next 4 years, things like that. People are like, this and this and this has happened. I can't even. Particularly when it is about race or sexism. Like, the person I saw, this is where this really crystallized in my head. A white person I know was saying this on Facebook. She said, I literally can't even with all this racism. I'm done. I'm fucking done. I'm like, well, right. But you get the choice to say that. You're a white woman. You get to say, I'm done. I reject your racism. Like, well, there's a lot of people who don't get that choice and who have to deal with it day in and day out. And so you're kind of like playing your super white privilege card by doing that. And so I started to look for it and apply it to other places. And I think it is a more powerful choice. And you know, I'm all like anal retentive about language. And I think just like semantics, that shit keeps me up at night. It makes me so mad because it's almost like absolving yourself of responsibility for something when you're saying like, I literally cannot even with this administration. I know you're saying I'm super frustrated and I cannot process this or this is frustrating. But I think we need to say that because it sounds like you're washing your hands of something. Yeah. I'm not saying you, like royal you.
Right. No, I don't see how that phrase is ever used now in any way except like comedically or ironically as a joke. Anybody that uses that seriously has got many, many fish to fry, I think, in the or many issues to deal with. But
many fish to fry issue tank.
I always
tank.
Do this. I just say, like, rant
like
my mouth.
Makeup.
Yeah, I'm like sort of like bad Dan Rather. Like I come up with just, he comes
Get
up with
that
these,
Twitter account immediately, at bad Dan Rather.
He comes up with these great colloquialisms, and I just sort of like make shit up. Like, you know, a sandwich and three birds did stuff.
It's like you have a little Ross Perot in you. Like, what did he say? Like, what was the thing that was always like, just because you put a cat in the oven, don't make it a biscuit or whatever.
And if he didn't say that, I'm going to just assume he did because I like that a lot.
It may have been my grandma, to be fair. Anyway,
I don't remember what my point was idiotic anyway. But no, I totally agree with you. I think that, I mean, if we're saying anything right now, it should be you damn well better even because... We all need to be on board here, and I do. I mean, if I'm a person of color, if I'm an immigrant, and I see somebody sort of signing off, like, oh, sorry, can't deal with this anymore, somebody who doesn't have anything to worry about, then I'd be pretty damn offended.
Yeah. Hey, so let's also talk about Time Person of the Year.
Who got that?
I literally can't even.
Yeah, right. I could not even with that. Donald Trump. Although I actually wanted to, there was part of me that briefly thought maybe they were giving it to the chair and he just happened to be sitting on it, but apparently not.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. Although it is actually, and I'm waiting, because we're here, it's Wednesday. It just came out this morning. I'm waiting for blowback because the actual write-up is pretty non-flattering, depending on how you want to. I mean, they give him credit. And first of all, I think it was a perfectly good choice. I mean, yeah. I don't, who the hell else are you going to? I mean, good
we
Lord.
We have been talking about his ass all year.
Yeah, right. I mean, our podcast practically exists because of him. And that alone should
Thanks,
make somebody.
Trump.
Yeah. Should make someone person of the year for creating such a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
No, but seriously, though, I mean, he's been, he is at the center of everything, like it or not. And he has. And look, I obviously don't like him, but I gave him credit for what he did. I mean, good God. I mean, he beat, you know, an amazingly qualified, amazingly experienced person who is a lifetime in politics and who had a ground game unrivaled and who had way more money. And so that, yeah, I mean, I have no problem whatsoever with the actual choice of him. And, you know, I just sort of hate anything that might further feed his ego, I guess, but...
Right. But I bet it will piss him off because it also describes him as president of the divided states of America.
Yes, exactly. No, I think there's a lot there. So I'm waiting for him to... I'm waiting for the tweet. The tweet's coming.
Tweet's
about,
coming.
About, you know, Crooked Time magazine.
Right. I'm going to shut him down.
Yeah, right. Something like that. And there were a lot of people comparing the photo of him, which, by the way, I don't think he has ever smiled. I mean, he always looks like he's grumpy and has a turd up his ass crossways or something. But...
There it is. That's the one.
Bad Dan, rather.
I'm writing that down. He's always, you know, grumbling about unflattering photos, and it's kind of one of those, like, do these pants make my ass look fat? No, your ass does.
The photos are not the problem. It's actually what is being photographed.
You're making a face, sir, that looks like the face you make when you put two Pringles in your mouth to make a duck bill.
Yeah, exactly.
And the like skim milk color eye area where he puts the little eye covers for his tanning bedtime.
Yeah, yeah.
That does not a flattering photo make.
Yeah. He looks, he just looks really angry all the time.
This is so petty and stupid, but what did somebody tweeted during the debate something about his hair that was so funny? It was something like, it was a particularly fluffy hair day for him, and they called it something like, his hair today looks like chicken flavored cotton candy.
Wow. That is a great image. I mean,
is horrifying. Anyway, we're
that's
being
fantastic.
Juvenile right
now. Oh, that's
now.
Okay. That's all right.
That's all right. So I feel bad. Chancellor Merkel last year was the Time Person of the Year.
Uh-huh.
And I just feel like, and her picture was so, like, she's showing both of her hands in the photo. And she's got, I think there's like a trust gesture, you know, like body language. People always say, if you need someone to trust you or listen to you, make sure they can see the palms of your hands. And she's got her hands out and you can see them. And the picture, you know, her head's like a little bit to the side. And like, it looks like powerful, but human. The year before was the Ebola fighters, Pope Francis, Obama. Let's keep rewinding. Actually, Obama's had it twice because he got it in 2008 and 2012.
Putin was in there somewhere.
2007.
Okay.
Bush had it in 2004. Giuliani had it in 2001. Bush had it also in 2000. Like lots of white men. Oh, there's David Ho, the scientist who pioneered a lot of AIDS research. Lots of popes. Oh, Newt Gingrich. You know, lots of big swath of white men here. Here we go. The Endangered Earth in 1988.
Ah.
Back to white men.
Yeah.
There we go. So... Who would you have picked not Trump for Time Person of the Year? If Trump's out, who would you pick?
Boy. I don't. That's a really good question. I mean, you could make a case for Hillary Clinton. If
sure
not, if for no other reason than how angry it would have made Donald Trump. That would have been fun to watch. But also because, you know, she played a rather important role. There could be...
Stalin in 1942.
There you go.
Well, 1939, and Hitler in 1938. Ooh,
yeah.
kind of a dark era there.
Yeah.
38 was Hitler, 39 was Stalin.
Yes. Well, and a lot of people, I noticed a lot of people on Twitter were tweeting a photo of the Trump picture and the Hitler picture side by side because they're both like seated and they're facing different ways, but people were
they're making the same kind of duck face.
Yeah, and I think the just talk about horrible conspiracy theorizing, but I think they were trying to imply that Time magazine sort of did that on purpose.
Oh.
But who knows? Who knows?
Maybe.
What about
probably not.
What about Lin-Manuel Miranda? He could have been a person.
Yeah.
Of the year.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. I'm on board with that one in a big way.
Yeah. I mean, that was a. You try to think about. I mean, we're so clouded by Trump and Clinton and the election eating up so much bandwidth this entire year, but certainly.
Well, you said
Hamilton was.
Yeah.
Huge.
I mean, well, you said like right after the election, you were like, "What the hell did I write about before the election?"
Yeah, I really. Could not remember at times.
I don't recall.
Yes.
I think you sometimes talked about Secret Santas in the workplace.
Yeah.
I recall that column.
Yes, I tried to make a lot of fart jokes. I really got away from the fart jokes. Which
I recall a photo shoot in which you were in a bathrobe and pajamas.
Yes, I did that.
I remember that one.
At one time, and I modeled the male Spanx one time, too.
I did not remember that.
Yes.
Did not see that. And if I did, maybe I just blocked it out.
I modeled it. And then as it was actually, this is completely off topic, of course, but that's okay. It was almost a dare. Ellen Warren, our fashion writer and all around amazing person. I mean, that's what she was doing then. She did all kinds of political coverage, and over the years she'd done everything. But she had the dude that was sitting next to me at the time. They did like a thing where they bought him all these fancy clothes and dressed him up, and you know, did a photo shoot for something she was doing. And she walked by my desk one day, and I was like, man, what do you grab him for? I'm the biggest slob around here. Are you crazy? If you're going to do a makeover, for God's sake, do me. And so about like two or so months later, she's like, hey, did you mention wanting to do one of those photo things? You want to do it? And I said, oh, yeah, sure. She didn't tell me what it was. And then in there, and it's the male Spanx shirt. For
It's like an undershirt, right?
Yeah, it's an undershirt. I forget what it was called. But anyway, so I was, but of course, you know, I couldn't back down. That would have been undignified. And so I did it. And then and around the same time, I was writing about LGBT issues. Mm-hmm. I wasn't a columnist yet. I was still reporting. And the Illinois Family Institute, which routinely came after me, they are a anti-gay group that is surprisingly powerful in the state. And they didn't like me simply because I wrote about gay stuff. And so they one time published at the top of their webpage in a banner headline, Tribune's Rex Hupke is gaga for homosexuality.
And
they used the picture of me in the Spanx underneath it because in their minds, that was, I guess, the gayest thing they could find.
He wears an undershirt.
Yeah, exactly.
Gay.
Right? It's like, what the hell is wrong with you people? There apparently wasn't a picture of me with a feather boa on or something like that. So that was the best stereotype they could find.
That is goddamn ridiculous.
Yeah, although for me, it was like winning a Pulitzer. It was just I was like, awesome. I still have a printout of it on my desk.
I was going to say, I hope you have it framed.
Yeah, I saved it. Yeah.
And then can I assume that Tribune Legal went after them for using that photo?
I don't think they even bothered.
That's a shame.
I think they just said, who cares?
That would have been fun because that would have kept that photo in Google News for a very long time.
Yes, it is. Yeah. So anyway, if anybody wants to see a racy picture of me wearing a Spanx, whatever, it's out there.
Row, row.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, maybe not that.
Okay. So also, let's see, lots to discuss. And we need to call, like, what do we call? We need a name for the Trump era. Like,
I could think of a few things. But.
Like, I heard someone say Trump-sylvania. I heard someone say, what was the other one? But you know what I mean. We're going to work on that.
Yeah,
we need to own that.
That's a good idea, though. I like
but,
that.
In Trump-sylvania and all the efforts going on there, there's a lot happening with, we touched on this already a little bit, but like I think it's about to be a damn interesting time to be a corporate entity in this country. Because I feel like there's not only as Indiana employees have been pointing out, like that was a long walk for a short drink of water. That was really a lot of pomp and circumstance about nothing. But I feel like there's going to be a lot of things set up to benefit a certain kind of corporation that's going to really screw small businesses, probably. And it might be one of those complex structures that we're so good at creating in which it's just full of loopholes for all people to exploit, and it becomes just a big shit show. And that's Not that I'm pro super regulating the hell out of everything to the point where no one can kind of navigate the red tape, but I feel like the opposite is when you have so many loopholes available, you end up doing the same thing. It's still red tape. It's just a different kind of, because you don't understand how you're shooting yourself in the foot.
Mm. Yeah, I think what we're seeing so far seemed with the carrier situation, and also he announced, I think it was yesterday, this big Japanese bank investment in the United States, a $50 billion investment, and he took credit for it and said that the CEO of this, or the head of this bank, told him that the only reason it happened was because Trump won the presidency. Well, okay, truthfully, this whole deal, this whole investment, which is going to be in a lot of tech industries and stuff like that, and is legitimately a good thing, was wrapped up in October.
Yeah.
And, you know, and Trump does know the guy, and, you know, so point is, I think what we're going to be seeing a lot of is situations where something positive happens, and, you know, what happened with Carrier, whatever the reason, there are 700 some odd people who are still going to have jobs, and mm-hmm. That's great, and I'm happy for them, and that's always good. I'm never going to say that's a bad thing, but there's a lot of other, that came at a cost.
Right.
Including costs that may wind up affecting consumers, because now your air conditioner or whatever is going to cost a little more, whatever. I mean, so there's all kinds of nuance to this stuff, and he is obviously nothing if not nuance-aphobic. So, mm-hmm. We're going to see little victories that he will manage to pimp out as huge victories, and then in the wake of that, not enough people are going to see the actual reality of it. And so I think that's bad. It's also bad for the workers and consumers who get kind of, you know, caught in the, like,
sure.
Sort of sleight of hand of it all, but the companies too, because I think, and I've seen there are stories now on this, that corporations are getting a little nervous because they don't know what the hell he's going to do. And he just called out Boeing the other day, which is headquartered here in Chicago, and making completely, well, basically false,
yeah.
at best, overly exaggerated claims about the cost of them doing an Air Force One project, blah, blah, blah. I mean, and the Boeing stock, at least briefly, dropped significantly. So I don't, you know, the thing about him, I was thinking about this last night, is, okay, what is he famous for, at least in his own mind and in his books and everything? It's making deals, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's a deal maker. And that's what he said all through the damn campaign,
yep.
Over and over again. Well, I don't think anybody stopped to think about the fact, you know, deal making involves a lot of, you know, sort of, it's not one-sided, you know? I mean,
right.
He makes a lot of deals, and he can spin those deals to sound good to him or for him, you know, like he has done a great thing, but there's been a lot of underhanded crap going on, not necessarily illegal, I mean, but, you know, just like,
yeah.
A lot of stuff happening.
The guy's not even
in
office yet, and I feel like he's minutes away from creating an international incident on Twitter already.
He absolutely is.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, the Taiwan call that he made.
Yeah.
I mean, that was not a minor thing at all.
That's huge.
So he thinks, and you know, look, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt here. Maybe in his mind, a deal is a good thing as regardless of the background circumstances.
Sure.
So he looks at, maybe he looks, again, benefit of the doubt, maybe he looks at the carrier thing and says, hey, 700 jobs are safe. Cool. He doesn't care about the fact that 700,000 a year in tax breaks and other jobs are leaving, and Carrier doesn't promise that they won't eventually send those jobs overseas anyway. He doesn't care about any of that. He just cares about a deal that winds up either making him money or making him look good.
Yeah.
And
well, and I think there's the other part of that we don't talk about often is, well, back up to that. I don't think that nuance is the guy's strength at all, clearly. But also, when you think about a deal, it is only the agreement to do something. It is not doing the thing. And so when a deal gets fucked up, people go, hey, we had a deal. The deal does not imply work. The deal implies a promise to do work or an action of some kind, right? So to me, that's just smoke and mirrors. Like, to me, that's just talking, because you can promise crap all day long, but you still have to go do the work at some point, right? You can come in and be like, I'm going to do this and build this and blah, 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 blah. You still have to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he can make deals all day. I don't give a damn about deals. I give a damn about the result.
Right.
Just show me. Don't talk about it. Sit your ass down in the Oval Office, if you must, sit down, do the work, get things done, and make like do the things.
Yeah, exactly.
And represent all of the people, not just certain people.
Well, and I think the kind of deals he's used to doing in basically real estate, I like to just call him an overglorified realtor, but
yeah,
but he thinks he can kind of use those same tactics. So look at what he did with Taiwan.
Yeah,
he calls Taiwan, breaks 20 years of diplomatic, you know, God, policy on our part, and then China gets mad, and he starts criticizing China on Twitter, of course. And then I read this, I think it was on Politico, one of his advisors, his comment was, if China doesn't like it, screw them.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I was like, whoa, time out. This is not a damn real estate deal, and you're not dealing with, like, some mobbed up assholes in Jersey somewhere.
Yeah.
I was like, you're dealing with a nuclear power that has a massive army that we are tightly interwoven with economically. Are you out of your mind? This is not how you can do things. I don't care if that worked for you, Mr. Art of the Deal.
Right.
Okay? You don't just... Because the impression was like... And I even saw some people praising it, saying, well, you know, he's taking a tough stance so that he can then go in and negotiate on better terms. I'm like, bullshit. That's not how this works.
That works.
All right, exactly.
At all. Saying screw them does not... We're not at a flea market,
right,
you guys.
Exactly.
Well, screw you and your weird... You know, rug. I don't need it anyway. I'm going to walk away. Okay, wait, come back. I'll knock off $20. Like, that's not what we're doing. It's not a flea market.
He's like the manager that the car dealer salespeople call when they're like, well, let me talk to my manager. That's who's running our country now. It's
totally.
He's the guy who comes out and is kind of like, I'm giving you the best deal I can here. And it's like, oh, shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we're dealing with. However, the best headline I have seen this week is today. It is in the New York Times, and it is thus: Tiny snail defeats Donald Trump in battle over Irish seawall.
Nice. Good job, Team Snail.
Team Snail. So his real estate organization planned to build this long seawall off the Irish coast to protect its golf course. But it faced all this opposition from an environmental group because it would be threatening a 2 millimeter long the whirl snail, which lives in the area on the coastal dunes, and it is protected by European Union rules, and the snail has prevailed.
Woohoo!
A 2 millimeter long whirl snail has just stopped his wall.
If that snail can do it, God damn it, we can do it.
I love that, but that's my favorite. that's my favorite headline for today.
That speaks on a lot of different levels, I have to say. It really does. I remember reading a while ago about that issue, but I didn't realize it. I didn't realize the snail had won. That's great.
The snail prevails.
I am happy now.
Let's get that trending on Twitter.
Yes, the snail prevails.
Snail power. Snails prevail. Oh, we are punchy.
Yes.
We are slap happy. We are all the things. But as ever, my friends, we are, we wait a week. We talk about all the things. Who knows predictions. We have to do that. We can't close the show without predictions. Who could have predicted possibly an international incident with China and or Taiwan? So I'm going to say he'll go pick on some other country. That will happen in the next week. He'll call up somebody we haven't heard from in a while and piss off someone else by doing so.
Yeah, I think he's going to get a bad latte from Starbucks, and he'll yell about Starbucks and their stock will go down. He's going to say that he's going to do something.
I predict there will be another large corporate boycott / free-for-all, like Target. You know, there was a boycott, so a lot of people were like, hell yeah, Target. So I predict another corporate division there, and I predict another international almost incident.
I think you're right, because I think what the hardest thing with him, I think, throughout has been figuring out what is being done intentionally and what is just not giving a crap and just saying whatever and just being kind of a blowhard. And so I don't know, but my feeling, at least right now, is that this is somewhat intentional, that they are trying to rattle cages and they're trying to push the boundaries and they're trying to show that he is going to be a no-nonsense, unpredictable, because they're trying to scare people, because frankly,
that's what got him elected.
Right. That's what got him elected, and that's what works for him. So he derives power from fear. And from people being intimidated and threatened. That's why he sued like 80 men. I mean, he sued so many people over the course of his career. It's insane. And he threatens lawsuits. He threatened all the women who came forward.
Yeah.
Remember? Okay, what's happened now? No, there's no lawsuits. He's not going to do that. It was all crap. And so he threatens the media. He threatens everybody. So I think this is just a dominance thing almost. It's like, hey, yeah, I'll make your stock go down. You know, who cares?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So I agree with you. I think there will be more of that on the corporate side. And I mean, he's a walking international incident waiting to happen. I mean, he's gonna. God knows what's gonna happen, and you know, then he's got his kids running around. Oh God.
Oh yeah, because Ivanka is moving to D.C. She's saying.
Yeah.
It appears. Whatever.
To work on that blind trust that the business is.
Whatever.
Gonna, yeah. Oh, Lord. I'm really curious too to see how the brand is affected.
Her brand.
Her all of it. Her brand. His brand. The hotels, the building, the office building, the Trump Tower here,
mm-hmm.
You know. I mean, you couldn't pay me to go stay at a Trump place right now.
No.
Or really ever, but especially right now.
And I wonder, too, the security risk that I think we've talked about that before,
yeah,
too, right?
Yeah,
that,
sure.
That
yeah.
Suddenly, if you have a bunch of structures in a country with the president's name on them, I feel like that becomes a target in a very different way than any other president has seen before. So why would you would need them guarded? Why would you not need them guarded? You would need those structures guarded at all times.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's the one of the, you know, like it's this hot, it's the giant syringe in the Chicago skyline.
Yeah, no,
it's way up there. It's one of the tallest buildings in our skyline.
Right.
And I feel like that makes it, I don't love that it's so close to us right now.
No, I agree. Yeah, I think that's a huge issue. And I think just the whole, I mean, we'll see how his, what he does and how his popularity goes. But I can see and that is one way to get at all of them is mm-hmm. to go after, not go after, but to deny the brand, to not buy their stuff, to not go to stores that sell their stuff. There's several people on Twitter who I see right now, this doesn't have to do with Trump, but with Breitbart, who are constantly tweeting to American Express, why are you advertising on a racist website or a xenophobic website mm-hmm. or whatever?
There's a Twitter account that's devoted to that now. That if you tag them in your tweet, it will start shaming that brand.
Okay,
they're just devoted to that.
There's a lot of power in that right now.
Sure, there is.
And because the stuff that Breitbart preaches and a lot of the stuff that comes out of Trump's mouth isn't going to work in the consumer arena at all.
Mm-mm.
For more on that, see how things went in North Carolina when they, you know, tried to pull
truly.
All the trans bathroom stuff. So,
yeah, truly. Anyway, yeah. Well, give it a week. There'll be plenty more.
Oh, yeah.
So we're saying, let's throw in Wall Street, too. I feel like they'll not only be like a corporate thing that will appeal to different groups in different ways, like create a division, but I think that will be reflected in Wall Street, and there'll be an almost international incident yet again.
Woohoo!
Good times. All right, my friends, this is Amy Guth and Rex Hupke signing off of Guth and Hupke on Politics. We will see you next time.